Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including Lightning Collection reveals, comic books and comic book news, and maybe a 30th anniversary special that dropped this week. Just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Joel, and with me is...
I'm detecting a vibe. It's Kevin. That's right. This robot's got jokes.
Yeah. knew you were going to use that at some point, expected it in another place, but hey, I'm happy that that joke got reused.
Well, what can I say? Some broken circuits can't keep a bad bitch down.
but we will get into more about where those come from a little bit later. But before we get started, like we do every week, we want to take a moment to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is still ongoing and still requires support, to the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine, and to the constant attacks upon reproductive rights and human rights for trans people within the U.S. Find a way that you can help, whether that's joining in like protests safely, donating to nonprofits that help organizations that are like spearheading campaigns against these movements or for these movements. And then, you know, just even begin the steps of educating yourself so you understand what's going on better. There are a lot of laws across the U.S. right now that are like attacking not only the ability to transition for both children and adults, but there's like drag bans going on across the U.S. that are just wild and insane. Just begin the steps of educating yourself so you can better understand what's going on. Find a way that you can help. Be a hero in your own way. Let's make this world a better place. And with that, we will jump into our many topics this week. Because a lot happened this week. we'll start off with the 30th anniversary fan stream that Hasbro had for Power Rangers. It happened on Monday of this past week. There were, a lot of it was revolving around the 30th anniversary, obviously. They were talking about a lot of the, Once and Always special, giving a lot of, like, clips into that. But they did reveal a lot of things for the Lightning Collection, and I will kind of run down the list, and then we can talk about them afterwards. Revealed on this fan stream were the Red Turbo Ranger, the Yellow RPM Ranger, the Blue Lightspeed Ranger, the MMPR Remastered Red with the Dragon Shield, Pink, Green without the shield, and the Black Ranger as well. And for the Deluxe line, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Minotaur and Rita Repulsa were revealed. And to finish off the Cobra Kai series, Johnny Lawrence as the Black War and Miguel Diaz as the Red Eagle were also revealed. And then towards the tail end, they showed off that the Selfie series will now have the Black Ranger available as an option for you to order. And that there will be a limited re-release of the Zord Ascension Project Black and Gold Dino Megazord. There was a ton shown off in this stream. What stood out to you, Kevin? What are you excited about from this? What was shown off?
I think everything as a whole, really. Like, I'm really excited to see the Turbo, RPM, and Lightspeed teams really get started. I think Yellow RPM looks great. Summer looks really good. She has a great head sculpt. I think the one that I got the most excited about was probably the remastered Rita, because it looks really nice. Like, I've had the wedding Rita since it came out with the silver trim, and I've been waiting for them to eventually do a gold trim Rita. So it's nice that we're getting this, and it also, like, the head sculpts being swappable, I think, are a lot of fun. And it also, I think, is really nice because it's like a blend of, like, it feels like they did a blend of face scans of Machiko Soga and Carla Perez. Like, so you get like a nice in between, it feels like, based on how the face looks.
Yeah, for sure. That figure is so good. It looks so great.
So I'm excited to retire Silver Trim Rita for a little while. I think the remastered figures, like, they, seeing them all together now, it is really tempting. I'm trying to be good, so.
I mean, they all look really great. I do like kind of, I was already getting them regardless, but I do like what they've done with it. It is a little odd that the Red Ranger does not have a head sculpt, but with it's all that's going on.
So that's.
Yeah, but with all that's going on with that actor, it is a little not surprising.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that the shield is removable from the Red Ranger and can be put on any of the Rangers, including the female Rangers. Not sure about the armband, if that will still work, but it's really a really cool feature that they've done that. I love all the effect pieces that come with them, and I do like the shieldless green because I think it's just cool whenever the Green Ranger doesn't have a shield. I like all of them. It is odd that they've not announced when we'll be getting Black. He was the only Ranger that didn't get a release date. And I believe I've seen some people online talking about the fact that he may get released in a restock of Yellow and Blue, which is, I guess, cool.
I mean, it kind of makes sense too, because we'll see as we talk later on, but Yellow, Black, and Blue are now kind of a trio of their own. So
I think a lot of these reveals were really cool. The one thing we didn't point out in the notes, Hasbro did start off the stream. Emily from the marketing team, who was kind of leading these, she's back with Power Rangers. She started off the stream by having a message from the Hasbro team talking about the fact that they've heard fan reactions, the complaints about the packaging, complaints about quality issues, and that they're going to try and be better about it. They're going to try to make efforts to improve that. They are listening, which I think is really great. And they've even, like, there was even kind of a small comment as well when they were showing off the new wave that they showed off with Red Turbo, Yellow RPM, and Blue Light Speed Rescue, that they had heard the complaints about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and would make sure that certain waves did not have a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger representative. Again, it is nice that they are acknowledging this, that they are telling the fans that, hey, we are listening, we are going to try. Yeah. And then proceeded to show off a bunch of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers things, but...
I think it is good that they're addressing that. I do think there are certain things that they need to continue to work on. That, of course, including, you know, quality control, but also, like, the back-end customer service. Having been one of the many people that have said, hey, my figure's messed up, and then they get a different figure as a replacement. It can be frustrating, so it's understandable. But I'm glad that Hasbro is at least listening and showing us, like, hey, we are trying here. And, you know, we'll see what happens from it, so.
Yeah. The Cobra Kai figures, I was just like, okay, cool. Glad you're finishing those off. The most interesting part is, like, hey, that Red Ranger figure is now in a Blue Beetle movie. It's like, hey, that's kind of cool. But other than that, I did find it interesting that they are expanding the selfie series into, like, the Black Ranger figure, which is fun. I'm still not tempted. I'm still not tempted until they put a Blue Ranger up there. Then I'll be like, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think it makes sense. I mean, it's an easy way for them to generate more money. So, from a profiting standpoint, like, Power Rangers is a good series to do something like this, because with their other franchise brands, you know, you can only do so many certain molds, but
with
MNPR, with even other seasons, like, you just have, like, get the mold for that season, make it mass produced, and then you go from there. So
And I mean, like, the female bodies and male bodies are just color swaps in theory. The biggest thing would be the helmets, which, like, I can't imagine it's too much of a difference as far as sculpts, but, like, I'll be curious if we get, like, a Blue and Yellow Ranger at some point soon, what they'll do with that.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we got, like, the Red female Ranger as an option. Yeah,
that was the thing I thought was interesting, is, like, it would be cool if they could do the different colors on the female Ranger one body. Because that would be really cool, and I bet people would order selfie series figures just to get the female body and make customs. I'll be curious once they do that more. And then the weirdest part of this whole, like, fan stream was when they revealed they were doing a re-release of the Zord Ascension Project Black and Gold Dino Megazord. Because you and I were talking while this was happening, and we were like, oh, it'll be the Morpher. That'll make the most sense. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Just a real head scratcher, but For those who want it, I guess, hey, exciting for y'all. But was there anything else that you would have wanted from like a live stream like this? Was there anything else like you're excited for, especially with like Turbo and RPM and Lightspeed Rescue? Are there any specific figures from those seasons that you'd like to see?
I think Titanium Ranger is going to be one that I'm really excited to see for Lightspeed. I think that will be a gorgeous figure. I think that's going to be really fun. Anytime we can get like an American exclusive design as a figure, it's always a really good time. And then I think for Turbo, I mean, does it need to be said? We both want the same figure from Turbo.
If you say Justin, I'm going to be like, oh, no, okay. Yeah, no, we do want the same figure from Turbo. I had to think about that.
Yeah, we want Justin. Oh, sorry. No, I think a Divatox figure would be a lot of fun. I think you could give her some really wacky accessories. And I think she'll be coming sooner rather than later. I think we'll be getting her figure at some point. So
yeah, it feels like it's the big hole as far as like face characters from those like Zordon era seasons, air quotes, that we haven't really gotten as far as the villains. I am curious though, with the fact that like Red Turbo is TJ, because we didn't mention that. Do you think the other three, like the pink, green and yellow, will be Carlos, Ashley and Cassie to keep it consistent, or will they mix and match which head they put with them?
I think they will keep it consistent, especially because Hasbro knows how the fans are reacting to those things. I would not be surprised if we eventually get like a, either as store exclusives or limited releases with the original team potentially. I could even see us getting like a Passing the Torch 5-pack where it's like Tommy, Cat, Adam, and Tanya, and then we get like kid size Justin. I could see that too. I think that would be something they could take advantage of very easily and do. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, I would not be surprised. Hasbro has been known as a brand even before Power Rangers to not be shy about re-releasing figures. So I would not be surprised if we see Tommy, Cat, Adam, and Tanya Turbo figures at some point in the future.
Yeah, I mean, but they could.
Yeah,
would they be able to? They should be able to reference the Turbo movie, right?
Yeah, because the rights to the Turbo movie are, because they wouldn't have been able to use Divatox or anything in the show. Yeah. If they hadn't have. You know, Saban. He probably like after the original movie deal happened, he was like, "No, we're going to keep this under us."
Yeah, for sure.
He learns his lessons. Like he's
a shrewd businessman, but a businessman nonetheless. Yeah, for sure. I'd be curious, like you said, the Titanium Ranger would be really cool to see, and I'd be excited if they would do the different like configurations of his weapon as well with it, which would be really fun to have. Mm-hmm. And then like obviously Carter would be fun too from Lightspeed.
Yeah,
I would just also RPM if we could get like a Tenaya 7 Lightning Collection figure would be really cool.
Yeah, Tenaya would be a really fun figure to have for Lightning.
Because, I mean, she's just a kind of a female body sculpt, and then, like, it'd be cool if they could do two different heads for her, or, like, removable visor so you have the full face covering, and then the lifted one would be really fun. And then I would love to see Jem and Gemma, honestly, as Lightning Collection figures. I wonder if they would actually do the silver and gold as like really as metallic as the suits are, because
they could. I don't know. I love the designs for RPM. I mean, I'm not shy about that, so like I know they're all coming, and I think for me I'm interested to see some of the other stuff we could see. I'm assuming we will get a Dr. K figure given her prevalence in the series now.
That would be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen. And I mean, Hasbro has enough sculpts of, like, female scientist figures, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too hard for them to release a Dr. K. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited either way.
Exactly. So with that, we'll move on to the world of comic books, because this past week, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 107 released. It was written by Melissa Flores, illustrated by Simona Gianfelice, colored by Raul Angulo, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. And the previous description for this one is, Zed is more powerful than ever, while Grace's second-in-command keeps the past plan alive, which may provide a cutting edge in the battle with Dark Spectre, or prove to be the Ranger's undoing. Meanwhile, Mistress Vile finds the ultimate use for the vessel, whose identity finally comes to light. This was a tense and interesting issue that went in a lot of directions that I both knew would happen, but also did not expect. What did you think, though, Kevin, when you read this one?
I mean, I... Melissa's running into the ringer. Like, she is, like, good for her. No, I mean, I think this issue is definitely, like, the boiling point, I think, as we get ready to go into the next arc of the comic. And really, like, you see a lot of emotion in this issue between... Kimberly and her kind of like venting her feelings to even like Grace confronting Zed, and even Mistress Vile kind of moving into the next phase of her plan. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this issue at once, and it feels like it's basically everything reaching the boiling point from what we've seen so far since the arc started.
Yeah, for sure. The thing that stood out to me in this issue a lot is I really loved how Melissa is playing with the characters, and I mean, like, the character of who they are and, like, how their emotions all play out. Because, like you said, there is, a lot of emotion, like, emotional fraught moments in this, you know, from Kimberly with, like, Gale, which is a really great moment, Trini and Zach. You have the moment with Jason and Tommy when they're sparring. And just as that boils over, as Matt attacks, or mind-controlled Matt, we're assuming, from text bubbles. And then just, like, even the stuff with, like, Zed and Grace, and then, like, when Zed and Mistress Vile interact with one another. She's just crushing it, and I think doing a really great job in having all these characters interact and really be true, and but also go in really interesting directions with how they feel. I'm really enjoying it. So let's talk the reveal of the vessel, which I think we called pretty clearly.
It was very obvious. Like, once... Yeah, but let's talk about it.
So it is officially confirmed that the vessel, whatever this thing may be, is the body of Zordon. We find out in the battle between Zed and the vessel, Zed is able to, as the Z-Ranger, as he's known, is able to shatter the visor of the vessel, and underneath is the face of Zordon. I'm curious what this will end up doing. is... a certain level of messed up that Rita not only banished Zordon, but then kept his body as, like, a rainy day option in case she needed it. I'm curious what this will mean, because obviously we know this is to tie into the whole Dark Spectre plot. We know that the one thing he is really searching for is some kind of vessel so that he can come into this world. I am curious where this will go forward, but I do like the fact that the reveal comes to Zed, who is a character who would know what Zordon looked like from that time. But what did you think of how it all went down in the reveal?
No, I mean, I think it also it makes sense, and they did a good job, I think, revealing it by being Zordon fighting Zed, like Zordon's body, the vessel, whatever you want to call it. Because, like you said, Zed would know exactly who he looked like, and he would recognize him immediately because the two have such a close friendship. I think I like that direction because also, one, the fact that Rita had a backup plan using Zordon's body somehow, some way, it shows, one, that she is a brilliant strategist, and she's, you know, she's a main villain for a reason. But also, like, I think it also ties in really well to... because we're already planting seeds for the future for Dark Spectre. You know, we obviously know that, like, Zordon eventually has to go back into the tube after he leaves in Turbo. So, like, this is a good way for them to be, like, either your body is destroyed after this, or your body is weakened, and then you get caught back in the... like, you somehow get back in the time warp. So I think it's a good way for them to plant seeds for future plots, and
I do also, like, again, you talked about this fact that it feels like it's reaching the boiling point. I think that is, like, a really great way to describe this issue. It does feel like it's all ramping up in tension. And we do know from some covers that have been revealed for future issues that, that we are only going further. There is no going back. The Rangers are going to be on the back foot, it seems, for a little while.
Yeah, for sure. I think I also really like the usage of Evil Green Matt. Like,
oh god,
because of course Matt does. It's Matt, and he is like piling on like the feelings of like, especially for poor Billy. Like he is like trying to fuck, for lack of a better term, with Billy and Tommy, and like use those memories. And so I think it's gonna be really interesting when we see him interacting with Kim and Aisha next issue. And his interactions with Jason, because I think I really enjoyed the line where like Billy had to ask Tommy, like, did you mean those things when you told us that when you were evil? Like, I thought that was a really good like callback, because I realized, I was like, oh yeah, when Tommy was the evil Green Ranger, that was after having just met them, so he didn't have a history with them.
Yeah,
but Matt does.
And it's fun from like Melissa's perspective too, because she can now take any of those feelings that Matt had and twist them or flip them
and amplify them,
and yes, and do whatever she wants with them, and you know, use all this previous history to really like drive a knife into the Rangers or make Matt really smart with how he attacks them. All the scenes with the evil Matt is really great.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I don't know how we get him out of this, but I'm like, please don't kill him. That's what got of our whole mantra.
I feel so bad for Matt as a character, because I think for fans like us, we are just like waiting for his eventual death.
Yeah, well, some are cheering for it, because he's not very popular if you go in certain online circles. But yeah, I think it's that thing of like, anytime you introduce a character into a comic that takes, established property that has a certain history, you're like, well, they can't exist for that long. It's like any character that appears in the prequel. It's like, well, you weren't in the original series of Star Wars, so you're probably not going to make it very long. But that's not to say you can't do interesting things, because, all that kind of stuff does happen. So, I mean, there is, I think of, like, not only Matt, but, like, stuff with the Omega Rangers. There is fun stuff that can be done. So I am curious where he will land once, if he makes it out of the brainwashing.
Yeah.
But with that kind of all covered, I do want to talk about the final moments of the issue, which sets up a one-shot that is coming soon from Boom Studios. Because at the end of the issue, we see a character who is Clote on Safe Haven go into the vault where all of the captured, imprisoned people are, and they open a container to reveal Kaya. And we find out the person who released Kaya is Lord Draken himself. What did you think of this moment at the end?
I mean, it made sense. It was kind of like a fine moment. I think it's going to tie in nicely to the new Draken one-shot, where he creates his own team of Rangers. We'll see what happens. So, I mean, Draken's still a presence in the universe. I think for me, it's going to be more interesting to see how he convinces her to join him.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of excited for. I am curious if we will see that in this comic or not, but I am excited to see like how, because Kia's last memory is getting her butt kicked trying to destroy the Power Rangers. Like, so if someone's like, hey, you need to save the world, she's gonna be like, maybe not.
Yeah.
I also did love the fact that both like Treaty and Zack are like, we feel like something bad's gonna happen, and meanwhile Draken is just like sliding in underneath them. I am excited. I do think this teases a nice fun thing for this one shot that we have coming. I'm excited to see where all of this goes, and we know it's only going to get more crazy, especially with the announcement of another one shot that was made this past week, because we found out there will be a Power Rangers Unlimited Hyper Force number 1 coming in July. It's written by Melissa Flores and Megan Camarena, with art by Federico Sabatini. The kind of blurb that was released for this one is, celebrate the Rangers' 30th anniversary as prolific Power Rangers storyteller Melissa Flores, an acclaimed writer, media personality, and voice of the Hyperforce Pink Ranger in the Hyperforce RPG, Megan Camarena, Radiant Pink, bring the fan-favorite Hyperforce Rangers from the screen to the page for their first dedicated full-length story since their more phenomenal first season. Mistress Vile, formerly known as Rita Repulsa, and Dark Spectre have invaded the Morphin Grid. But it will take far more than just the Mighty Morphin and Omega Rangers to stop them. As the dark contagion spreads and puts the Rangers in their most vulnerable state yet, the Hyperforce Rangers will have to scour the multiverse for as many unexpected allies as they can while they're pushed to their limits.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy that we're getting this. It's really exciting. I'm happy that Melissa and Megan are getting to write this. Mm-hmm. They're working on the Radiant Pink comic that is currently coming out from Image. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what they do. They have said that this is acting as a sequel to season one, so I'm curious how they will get the characters in place, considering mm-hmm. where they were left at.
mm-hmm. I mean, but just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I am excited. I didn't realize that they were also going to be recruiting others, so I'm excited to see who they get. Man, I hope this sells well, because I would love to see a like mini series come from this as well, that we get a more Hyperforce in any way. But any other thoughts on the Hyperforce announcement?
I mean, I think it's really exciting. I think one thing I like is that they got Megan to come in and write it, which kind of echoes like the fact that Hyperforce was still a tabletop RPG at the end of the day, even if it had some scripted elements. Like, so it kind of gives like Megan that chance to like give her feedback on what happens with her character. So I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I will say there is kind of a bummer, because it does seem like not a lot of the other Hyperforce crew were ever told or involved. So we'll see what happens. I am excited that they're continually using these characters, because I do think they're all really exciting and really great. Yeah. And I think there's a lot that can be done with them. Even just wrapping up their storylines would just be nice, because they did end on a cliffhanger in that first season.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, we'll wrap up the world of comics for now, and we'll move into what was probably the biggest thing this week. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always, the 30th mm-hmm. anniversary special, dropped on Netflix worldwide. Mm-hmm. It was directed by Charlie Haskell, with a screenplay by Becca Barnes and Alwyn Dale, and music by Ron Wasserman. And mm-hmm. it stars Walter Jones, Steve Cardenas, Catherine Sutherland, Charlie Kirsch, Karen Ashley, Johnny Young Bosch, David Yost, Barbara Goodson, Richard Steven Horvitz, Ryan Cooper, and Daniel Watterson. And after the kind of description for this one is, after tragedy strikes, an unlikely young hero takes her rightful place among the Power Rangers to face off against the team's oldest arch nemesis. Mm-hmm. And holy hell, it's here.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We've watched it multiple times.
yeah, I have watched it 3.5 times so far.
I am on 1.5, but
I've watched it I've watched it pretty much every day since it came out.
Nice. So safe to say, I think we both enjoyed it.
Oh, I thought it was trash. I hated it.
You just hate watching it now.
I loved it. I think it, and we'll delve more into what we liked particularly about it, of course, but I think the impact and power this has as a Mighty Morphin anniversary special, mm-hmm. specifically, because past anniversary specials have always been within a current season. They've always been dividing their attention among certain characters. And while Mighty Morphin always has some sort of presence, you know, this is the first true reunion special where we bring cast members together, and it's focusing on that team instead of having to play focus on 15 Rangers at once.
Yeah.
So I really like how focused the special feels, and also how much heart it has. I think that's the thing that I think a lot of people have taken away from this, is that it has so much heart to it that they didn't expect it to have.
Yeah, and I think you can feel that not only from like the story itself, the emotional mm-hmm. aspect of the like story that happens over the course of the special, but also from just like the production team. There are sets in this special that are loving recreations of original mm-hmm. sets. Mm-hmm. There is care taken not only in how certain effects look, how you know, references are done. There's just a mm-hmm. lot of care and love, I think, for the series and for this franchise all throughout. And you can tell, you know, I think they understood how special this was. So I think from production to acting to everything in between, I think everyone across the board did a really great job with the special.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You can tell this is like a labor of love. And I think,
yeah.
I think to be able to be a part of something that, you know, to be able to say this is 30 years later, as not only for production, but for fans, like, this is something that not many fandoms get to do or get to have. And,
yeah.
And I think I'm grateful for that. I think I feel how lucky we are to get that, because this probably is going to be something that will happen this once and will probably never be able to happen again. Like, this is, I think this is something that will, at least for Mighty Morphin, we could still get this for other series later on, but at least for Mighty Morphin, this feels like this is like a culminating thing.
Yeah. And I mean, if you went back, you know, 5 years ago and told us this was going to happen, we wouldn't believe it.
I would never have believed it. I would never have believed we would have gotten David back. Walter, I could see, but like getting David back, I think that's a major element that none of us would have predicted.
I think rather than going like story beat by story beat, because I mean the essential plot of this one is kind of what they said essentially.
Yeah.
Rita Repulsa returns through a means we will discuss in a bit. In the course of her return, Trini is killed by her, mm-hmm. and we find the fallout of this afterwards. And then a year flashes forward. We find out that Zack is now raising Trini's daughter Min, mm-hmm. and Rita strikes again and begins kidnapping Rangers to unfurl a evil plot of hers. Pretty much it. It's from there, it's Power Rangers, baby.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to shift rather than going beat by beat. I kind of want to start with just like, what are some highlights? What are some things that stuck out to you? What are some things that you loved about this special?
Yeah. I think for me, I think it felt, there were a lot of moments that I think even for me as a longtime fan, they were able to like pluck me, like the younger me, out and like mm-hmm. feel like I was sitting there. I think it really comes down to, the set designs, but also the ADR. Like, I have to give shout out to David and Walter. They have never lost their Power Ranger voice. Like, yeah. Them sitting in the suits doing the ADR legitimately felt like they plucked them from the past and put them in a recording booth and said, here you go. Like, which isn't also, this is not a slight towards Steve and Catherine, but like, it's just, it's really interesting how like Billy was able to, as well as Zach, and they all were as a whole able to jump back into their roles, but it feels like Billy and Zach were, in particular, were like, they were the easiest for them to slide in.
Yeah. I'll agree. And I think a lot of, you talked about that flashing back to being a kid. I think like what also helped with that was like Ron Wasserman's music. The fact that he was back scoring it, and they, like, it had a lot of the same like touches that the original series had. There's like the guitars whenever they're getting into fights. It just, it had so many great elements to it that felt like that, in addition to the voice acting with it. It just was.
And I think Becca and Alwyn also did a really good job of like taking the tone of Mighty Morphin and like translating it into a modern episode.
Yeah, because that's the other thing, is this is Mighty Morphin, but it is like Mighty Morphin with like the sheen of the new things into it, because like they use the explosions, which is not something that was really all throughout Mighty Morphin. They would do occasionally, but they have them pretty much throughout this. This is also Mighty Morphin. You can tell the reins on them were loosened a little bit. They could be a little more PG, because you know, we're able to say kill, we're able to say murdered.
Some of the ways they finish some of the enemies in this, like like the fact that we see them actively stabbing opponents instead of slashing, like
we could tell the reins were loosened a little bit. So this is Mighty Morphin with like a little bit of edge, not a lot, but like it's a little sharper in the tune.
Which is something Simon confirmed on Twitter, because someone asked him about that, and he was like, yes, we wrote this for more an older audience in mind, while Cosmic Fury is still, as he said, a kid's show. So, so he did confirm that. They were confirmed that, like, for the Mighty Morphin special, they let it, like, because they knew they were writing for adults more so, that were going to be watching this, instead of just kids, so. I think another thing that really stood out to me, and I really appreciated, because we've had the Mighty Morphin team and past Rangers come back before in specials where their actors don't come back and they remain suited up. And, you know, you get like generic grunts that are not those actors' voices. Like, some of them try, you know, I think back to Grid Connection, and that one was a bit rough, but like, one thing I think we're really happy is that we also got archival recordings for the returning Rangers that didn't come in person. So we get to hear, you know, Tui's voiceovers one last time, and we get to hear Amy, and we get to hear Jason, and we get to hear, you know, even Austin gets a couple in. But I think whenever it first started, I cried in the first minute because I heard Tui's voice as the Yellow Ranger, and it just, it hit me, and I was like, I think it helped with the immersion that was actually her in the
scene. Yeah, and I think they did a good job, like you said, matching, knowing when to use those and being able to match to what was going on. Because obviously, you know, anyone watching this, you're going to know that certain actors didn't return through obvious means. Yeah. You know, they were no longer with us, or just had turned it down, or were not able to be there for legal reasons. But, you know these characters are not there, but I think they did their best to make it feel like those characters still existed there. And even if we didn't see them, they were still there. I also want to shout out the suit actors, especially the one that's playing Kimberly, because I think the actor playing Kimberly new little moments to do. You know, there's, you know, after Trini is destroyed by Rita, and they're all kind of at the cliff, there's this moment where that Pink Ranger like falls to her knees. And then there's just little things like earlier in there, they pick up Billy at one point, and the Pink Ranger kind of taps him on the shoulder in this kind of like sweet way. And I'm like, okay, I really like what that actor is doing. So they were trying.
I would not be surprised if David gave that suit actor some notes.
I mean,
and was like, hey, Amy would
do this. Think the suit actor is probably just good at what they do and knows that. I wouldn't be surprised if the suit actor is just good at what they do. And we're like, okay, well, I'm mimicking this character, let me do it this way. And I do want to say across the board, the suit actors for all, like Robo Rita, for the monsters, for any of the Power Rangers when they were on screen, I think all did a great job.
I agree, especially... I was watching some clips of it this morning. I think especially with Min as the Yellow Ranger, like seeing Trini's suit actor, how they do it in the beginning versus Min, like seeing that contrast.
Also we have to think about like the fact that the Pink Ranger suit actor is playing two different Pink Rangers at different times. It's playing Kat at one point, and then it's playing Kim at another point. And then the red suit actor is playing, you know, Jason at one point, and is playing Rocky at another point. There is just like a lot of like work that has to be done that isn't thought about as work. And I also just want to say the fight choreography throughout this, like from the open, when we have like Billy charging through a bunch of putties to fight Rita, to the like Angel Grove fight scene against the putties where the Rangers are going through and just like taking out putties. And then that final moment in the Moon Palace is also one of my favorite fights, as the Rangers are like, you know, moving through columns to fight different things and fight putties throughout is really great. I want to take a moment also to highlight Robo Rita as just a character, across like all components of her. I thought Barbara Gibson was great. She's so good at what she does.
She is. I mean, she's still got it. Like, it's,
and she's given like not only like she's given like she's given standard Power Rangers dialogue at times where she's got to explain what she's doing or how she's going to do a certain thing, her grand plan. But then she's given like fun little lines to just say that are just great. You referenced one earlier, the you can't keep a bad witch down.
I think I also really enjoyed like her taunting of the characters, especially like after she kills Trini, like she uses Trini as a taunting point for them. Like for every character in some different way. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's a lot of craziness. I think one of my favorite moments, too, was Rita's shush, the adults are talking line. Like, I thought that was just really... Like, you can tell Barbara was having fun. Like, she was happy to be back, and I think it was something that she was very excited to be able to do.
She just, again, she deserves all the praise, because I think she did just such a great job with every line that she had. I also want to shout out Becca and Alwyn for coming up with a really interesting way to get a Rita back, because this special, while it never goes into like detail of what happened, we know Zordon was shattered and that his wave purified kind of everything. It's mentioned in an offhand way, and the way this Rita is created is because Billy is trying to bring Zordon back and in the process of trying to reconfigure Zordon, accidentally pulls in the essence of evil Rita that is still out there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a brilliant way, because I was like, well, are they even going to explain how she comes back? I thought it was really nice, and it was actually very nicely self-contained to this special.
It was, yeah. I think because we also had, and many fans had theories that it was going to be the revived Lord Zedd bringing her back, which would have been a good tie into Cosmic Fury. And for all we know, because there is a year gap between the opening scene and the actual story, something could happen. But I think they did a really good job of like having a way to bring her back that feels, one, it's not a facsimile. This is Rita. Like, this is Rita Repulsa. She's back. But also, given now what we know from the comic books, like, this is now a Rita that is completely evil. Like, there is no good in her. Like, this is an unhinged Rita Repulsa. And I think that ties in directly to how she behaves in the special.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it doesn't undo anything that has happened in continuity. It doesn't fully acknowledge it, but it lets it exist, which I think is really, really nice. I loved this version of Rita and thought she did a really great job. I also kind of want to take a moment to shout out the two monsters, because we get Robo Snizzard and Robo Minotaur in it. And I thought both of those did a great job. I thought both voice actors were really great and fun. The Robo Snizzard gets probably one of my favorite lines in the special, because there's a moment where they're captured and Min comes to essentially fight them. And it's like, your master destroyed my mom, or killed my mom. And then the Robo Snizzard goes, we work for a galactic warmonger, so we're going to need you to be more specific.
I got to give them credit. Like, I think they all did a really good job of like the writing and the direction they did. I think everything on a whole, like, this was just a beautiful, beautiful celebration of what the franchise is and has been for the longest time.
Yeah.
So, I greatly enjoyed it. I think it's something that I will probably watch on repeat, as I already have done, actually. I really want a Min figure now. Like, I loved Charlie as Min.
To shift to the Rangers, She's
fantastic.
She's one of the greatest things, I think, to come from this. I think Charlie does a great job embodying this character. If you want to talk about a teenager with attitude, she is one.
And it's so well done how she behaves as a character. Like, and it's a good contrast to how the Rangers were originally chosen and they were teenagers. And I think it kind of like gives a perspective now, because, you know, now that we're adults, we're watching this, we're like, oh, they went through it. Like, they went through a lot of trauma. They went through a lot of, you know, terrible things as teenagers. I saw someone point out online that it's a good contrast between how fans want to see the Rangers versus also how they actually are. It was an interesting like balance between like old Power Rangers and new Power Rangers.
And I like the fact that like her emotional arc is never invalidated by the older characters.
No, it's understandable.
They get it, but they don't want her to ever have to cross a line. They're trying to protect her, but they also want her to feel how she feels. And I really liked her relationship with Zach, which I think is one of the strongest components, and I think really helped with Walter Jones being great at like the emotional parts of it. I like the fact that she leans on him, and there's this great moment of like discussion of, you know, what is revenge versus what is justice. You know, if one is influencing the other, then you're not really worthy of it. You know, that kind of thing. It's just, it was really great, and I liked how they did her. The buildup over the special to her morphing. Like, we know it's going to happen, but I like the fact that they had two kind of false starts, and it's on the third time that she finally gets to be able to morph. And I really liked also her relationship with Billy, that is incredibly tense. Charlie as Min gets some of the, you know, Rita's able to sling some daggers at people, but Min eviscerates Billy in a way that is heartbreaking, and you feel every word she says.
And it's something that we wouldn't normally see in the TV show.
The,
which I think it lends to the emotional arc.
For sure. For sure. And I just, but, again, when she finally gets to morph, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, and she's so excited.
I hope this isn't the last we get of this character.
I hope not either. I would not be surprised if we see more of her in the future.
Like,
because the fan reaction to her has also been fairly solid, I believe. Like, so
you know, I would love to see what we could do with this character. You know, even if we maybe don't get a TV show or any kind of specials with her, I would love to see what could be done with her.
Yeah. She can always come back. Like, she can always show up now in anniversary specials, or like she can show up as a one-off. Like, she can now be like a representative of Mighty Morphin that when you can't get everybody together, you can at least get her.
If she's available, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, speaking of kind of the other returning Rangers, like, is there any ones that stood out to you as far as like Billy, Zach, Kat, Rocky?
Yeah. I think for me, Billy and Zach definitely got the most focus in the special, and David and Walter did such a good job of embodying the characters as adults. And I think the arcs we've gotten for them make sense in a lot of ways, with Billy now being the head of a technology company, and his continued efforts of like doing things to help the Power Rangers and like trying to be that support. And even the hints throughout the special that like he is reaching out to other Ranger teams, and like that he is, you know, he's kind of serving this new like central leadership role in the Ranger universe.
He's he's Gray Sterling. He's the new Gray Sterling. You know, to use another more broad reference, he's the Tony Stark of the Power Rangers universe. And I like that idea of him.
Yeah. And it makes sense. It would make sense that Billy of all people would be so focused on that. I think Zach also, his arc of like, he got to become a congressman, which whenever that line got dropped, I was like, that's perfect. Like, that is perfect because it ties into the comics, but also like him leaving for a peace conference. Like, it just, I loved that. I thought that was really good. And also like the way Walter portrays Zach and his relationship with men, like, it was really good. It was a really like, it was a heart of the team. Like,
yeah,
it was good
for sure.
And their and also their ideologies of like telling men how Trini died. Like, do we tell her the truth or do we lie to uphold Zordon's rules? And Billy, of all people, being the one to be like, Zordon's rules are sometimes okay.
Yeah, and I like, and again, it adds some tension between those two characters. But also, I just, like you said, it shows how these two different characters approach things. They're given a lot of depth that I don't think even the original show gave these two characters.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Steve and Catherine also did a really good job of, you know, jumping back into the suits. And I do find it interesting that, like, you know, Rocky, of course, they played up more of his comedic elements. But now he's the Red Ranger. So because we didn't see his we saw them some, but he was more comedic.
Yeah.
The Red Ranger. But I really enjoyed some of his stuff he talked about. And of course, seeing their trajectories of Rocky now being a firefighter, and Catherine finally being explicitly confirmed in the show that she is Tommy's wife and JJ's mother.
Yeah.
Which we all kind of knew, but it was never like fully formed in the TV show.
Yeah. So. It was never outright stated or given like any kind of indication.
I will say I loved the line that she did when she teleported in and she was like, first I'm helping with JJ's junior karate camp, and now I'm sneaking off to the bathroom to teleport away. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, it was like an absurdity of, like, I still have to do this.
Yeah, I do like that. I do think that's one of the lines that, like, Catherine, I think, really did sell very well.
She did. She really did.
Her in-suit Pink Ranger voice was interesting. I was like, I don't remember you being as like yeah with it, but it was interesting. I've listened to a couple of other people talk about the special. I did find it interesting that someone pointed out that like by making Rocky the more comedic character, it allows Zach, who is normally the comedic relief character, to be more emotional.
Yeah.
So it kind of allows that. There's a nice fun shift in allowing Rocky to be that. I do want to say, I do want to also call out the juice bar fight, because there's like this great set piece real quick I just want to go into, where Min has gone to fight putties by herself, and there's a great scene with just her fighting the putties, and it ends in this wonderful shot of her getting kind of overwhelmed by the putties as Zack and Rocky teleport in. And in this fight, Walter is crushing it. Want to talk about being back in it. He's flipping around, fighting, and it all looks great. Hip-hop keto-ing his way around. And I do want to also call out, I think, Steve, you know, you can tell he's gotten older. You can tell he can't kick as well. But hey, there is an incontinuity reason why Rocky did hurt his back. So it would make sense. And also, as a firefighter, he would not be a nimble jumping around kicking. He would be a more brute force kind of character. So I did like that there is kind of a fun explanation for why Steve is kind of able to move the way he is now. And I really just wanted to call that out because I thought that was a wonderful showcase for the character. And hey, he got to use the power sword in the end.
Yeah, and Kat got to use the power bow.
I also want to give Steve a shout out too. His Tyrannosaurus call out. He's given Austin St. John the run for his money in this one. I thought they all did really great when they got to yell the power coin. Phrases.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I think there's a lot that happened in the special that we never got to see before too, which is I think what makes it really good, because you know we get to see character dynamics and team, and I think that's like, granted, it all became because of a very
because of scheduling and other things, but
I think that's what's
I think there's some ingenuity in the fact that they had to kind of work with what they had to work with.
And I think it makes it a lot of fun to think about in the future, if we do ever get returning actors from Mighty Morphin, how those team swap dynamics can happen. Like, you know, what if we have a team that does have, you know, Kim and Adam and Jason and Aisha? Like, you know, seeing some of those interactions would also be a lot of fun. So I think that's what I really enjoy too, is that like, this is the Mighty Morphin Rangers, but it's like a different dynamic we've not seen before.
For sure, for sure. And then once you throw Min in there as well, it's really fun to have that. So speaking of other Rangers, we do have two other cameos in the form of Karen Ashley as Aisha and Johnny Young Bosch as Adam. They don't get a ton to do, which is kind of a bummer. They are given a reason why. They are off near the Sirius system helping with the Truvian Empire as part of SPA. I've seen some kind of frustrations about this, that it makes them cops, and I'm like, my hope is because they left the SPA organization as kind of vague, you can make it that they're not cops, but they are just a group that works with SPD is a thing that could be. But I will say my favorite moment with these two being back is actually towards the end, and specifically with Karen, when she gets a nice moment with Charlie, and she gets to be like, hey, I'm happy you're the one carrying on the Sabretooth Tiger legacy. It was really nice, and that was one of the moments that like hit me in the chest. I was like, oh.
It was really good, and I mean, it was really fun seeing the both of them return, especially for Karen, because she hasn't been on the show since she first left, of course. But I mean, we've talked about this before, and my hope is that the reason why they didn't have much to do is because they were filming other scenes.
Yeah.
Potentially. So we'll see if they show up in Cosmic Fury, but
it would be nice if they got to do a little more in that. We do get kind of like, there is... They are out there, at least. They are helping with the recovery of the Rangers that were attacked by Robo Rita. Yeah. So, I mean, there is stuff there with those characters, at least, that can be done. And one that we haven't mentioned that I do want to shout out is I want to shout out Richard Horowitz as Alpha 9. He gets kind of a thankless job, again, like he did in the show, where he just gets to be an info dump at times. But he's so good. And he gets some great lines, like the one you referenced earlier. I think if he had not been there, we would have noticed that hole. And like the fact that he is there makes this special only better. I want to shout him out and just, you know, give him all the praise as well.
For sure.
But is there anything else you can think of that you wanted to kind of talk about within the special that really stuck out? Or even like maybe some critiques you might have.
The thing is, I don't have many notes for it. I mean, they also, it's important to note this was filmed in 12 days.
Which is insane.
And, yeah, and I think, given the constraints they have, because I think a Mighty Morphin reunion was always going to be something difficult with, even before this was filmed, with Tui's death, and the actors being hard to get back, given their history of the show, and, you know, the fact that they don't have to come back. They're not legally obligated to, obviously. But I think they worked, they did a good job working within the constraints they did have, but they still were able to make it feel like an authentic and fun and enjoyable experience. And I think it brought a lot of heart. I think to this day, my favorite scene from the special is going to be when Min gets her ranger powers. And she sacrifices herself for Billy, and then she gets an image of the morphing grid from Trini, and it's like Trini is sending her a message. I thought that was just a really powerful and sweet and well done way to do it.
And then she gets to do the morphing call, and they all do it. It's so good. Yeah. And they pose them all with the Yellow Ranger at the center, which is really great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think for me, the other thing, like kind of the underappreciated moment that I really loved, was that we also got a nice callback to how they used to do things in Mighty Morphin when we get to see Machiko Soga as Rita one last time. We see the iconic shot, but then we see a behind shot from Rita, and it's her, like someone in the Rita costume, like moving around as if it's her. And like, I thought that was a fun callback to how they used to do, like if they needed original Rita footage, they would just do it from the back and not show her face. So I was like, that's like a fun like production callback.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just nice that they did that from behind, because they easily could have just done a like back shot of the like portal. it was really just like, again, little details I think throughout this are great. Speaking of a little detail I do want to call out, because I don't want to forget it, the Balkan Skull air quotes cameo. We get just a brief moment of a side of Balkan Skull's sandwich shop, sandwich warehousing thing that they own. So good, so funny. When it came on screen, my husband and I howled. It was so funny.
I thought it was a really good callback, and it makes a lot of sense. My headcanon is that after Bulk watched Spike and Samurai, and Skull realized that Bulk was like struggling, that he like brought Bulk into the business, and like they got to reconnect and reunite after for the first time.
It was really, it was just nice. It was kind of cool. And then also, can we talk about the minor Dino Fury cameo?
Yeah,
I guess, which is a really fun, kind of cute thing. They had, I believe the character's name is Kate. I had it pulled up, but it's gone now. But yeah, the actress in the scene where we get like Charlie sees a Buzz Blast video, that is the character that's at Angel Grove at the juice bar when the putties are attacking, and she's the one that's talking. I was like, oh, that's nice. That's cute. If we can't have actual Rangers involved, like, hey, it's fun to have that little reference be there at the very least.
Exactly.
Which is really fun.
Exactly.
But other than that, I mean, if we can talk about one area where I think the special kind of, I don't want to say stumbled a little bit, but like the Megazord, I'm of two minds about it. I liked the formation of the Megazord sequence, because I liked all of the redone versions of these Zords appearing like they did originally. You know, we've got the Triceratops in the sand, we've got the Saber-Tooth Tiger jumping, Pterodactyl comes from a volcano, all that's really cool. I think when the Megazord is fully together, though, the proportions of it are not quite right. but that being said, like, I don't think the sequence like was super long, and it wasn't that terrible. While the CGI I thought was kind of shoddy on the Zord, I do actually like how Snizzard looked when he was big, and how they animated him to like be able to move his face, because he can't do that as a suit. I thought that was really fun and really cool. But it was just like, okay, it's all CGI now, okay, blah, blah, blah. But I do think the one thing they did that was smart is I like the fact that they had the Megazord battle happening while the battle with Rita in the palace was still ongoing, which I think was fun. And the other thing I wish, the one last critique, while I like the way they took out Rita, I do wish they would have formed the power cannon and blasted her away that way. Mm-hmm. It's my one thing. If I could change one thing, I'd be like, guys, you've got all the power up, and just put them together. Put them together. They're right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, just have Min hold the gun, and then have all of them filter or kind of arc around her would have been wonderful. But that being said, still loved it. I say this a lot when it comes to Power Ranger media. It could be worse. It could always be worse. We've seen versions of this where it is worse. So I'm happy with what they were doing. I thought the team across the board did a great job. And really crushed it, knocked this one out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Any last... Okay, we do have to talk about one last thing. The moment that I was not expecting was the end of the special. We get a flashback to... do you know which episode this is from? The clip they used?
I can't remember the exact clip, but I
know you're talking there's about, a scene that they use from Mighty Morphin. It's a moment where Kimberly, played by Amy Jo Johnson, begins singing a song, and Walter Jones joins with her. And it's just this really nice moment between all the Rangers, and we get these really great shots of like Jason David Frank as Tommy, and Tweet Trang as Trini, and it's just this really nice moment as we fade out to a, you know, memorial for the two of them, and it was just really nice, and it was just like. It was. After a really great kind of special, to have that be how we close, it was really sweet and really just heart-wrenching and heart kind of like it hit. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. I really loved it.
Yeah. No, it was really good. I enjoyed it as well.
But that's once and always. It makes me happy that it seems like the reaction across the board for everyone is really positive. I've not seen too many, we'll say unfortunate takes online. I've really, it's just been great. And it's been so nice to have people celebrating and enjoying it. And, you know, fingers crossed, we can get something else like this in the future. Because I would just, again, if this is what the team can do with this, with 12 days, imagine if you allowed them to do it on a bigger scale. like let them do this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
But with that, that'll kind of wrap up our show for today. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Twitter for as long as that exists, at Made the Power Pod, or you can send us an email at madethepowerpod@gmail.com. Feel free to send us comments, suggestions, topic ideas, or if you're interested in coming on as guest hosts, we're always happy to have people come on and chat with us and talk about Power Rangers with us. But if you want to find me, you can find me on most social media at ThespisPunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on Twitter at BridgeMT3.
And with that, just want to say thank you guys for listening. We'll be back shortly with more Power Ranger episodes and things to discuss in your ear. But with that, as always, may the power protect you.